Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
Welcome back to another episode. We're here today with Anthony Ring. Known him for 15 years. So he's one of the first people I've had on that I have a bit of a history with, so should be an interesting convo. So why don't you introduce yourself to people who don't know you?
Anthony Ring Excavations, or Ring X as a...
Genius name.
Genius name, yeah. No one would pick that. Started my company in 20, around the same, when were you, Jim? To owned 8 or 9?
No, I think it was 06, the first one. So
yeah, and I was 2010. So then Jimmy and I met on Instagram, as most people do these days. By 2011 or 12, I was, you can't beat them, join them, and started my business Instagram, and thought, I'll see what I can make of this, and started talking to Jim, and the rest is history. Here we are 16 years later.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. There was actually a group that we had, if you remember, with a few boys in it back when there wasn't that many accounts on Instagram, and we all that's it.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, we get that straight. Yeah. We all would used to chat half the day when you were digging, and then when you couldn't be typing, you would call the person and just sit down while we were all driving machines.
Put your earphones in and do 20 loads of the tip in a day.
Yeah, that's the good old days. When you could do 20 loads. So, and then tell everyone what you do now.
So I what would you call it? Almost a Temu version of Starbucks, a smaller version. No, I do the high-end. I pretty much stick to the niche of high-end res. Any earthworks, from anything from small to right up to basements. And
then you do a bit of concreting and stuff.
Bit of piling here and there, dip my toe in everything. But my main niche is the earth moving side of it. And I sort of stick to that and give everyone a one-stop service from your one tonner to your 35 tonner or whatever I need, and whatever I don't have, I'll find it somewhere.
Yeah, it's not that hard to find those days.
It's a great niche that I enjoy. I did go bigger a few times. I went all the way up to tier one, but it just wasn't for me, the commercial, the large scale commercial, or even the medium density commercial. It's just, I felt like another bare bum in the shower compared to being an appreciated trade on a project like high end res. I've built relationships with architects and clients that have now become good friends and builders and everybody, and I enjoy the feeling of being part of the team rather than just being a number on site. Yeah, it's a personal thing for me.
And it's probably very different to what we've done. With my company, all of it, Ring has been part of my journey for a really long time. We need to start off. He doesn't actually use much of my trucking company now because he has a competitor of mine that has serviced him brilliantly throughout the years. brilliantly. But at the very beginning of my company, he was actually instrumental, and I don't think I've ever really told you, instrumental in making my company is what it is today. You gave me your work even when I wasn't the cheapest. You paid me when I needed it. Like, I can remember ringing you on a Monday saying, can I have 15 grand because I'm fucked and I'm not going to be able to pay my
bills.
But
I'd ring you and say, I need 15 trucks tomorrow. Yeah, too. I'll pay you tonight, I need 15 trucks
of course.
Tomorrow.
Of course. And so, you know, that part there, we can talk probably from a different perspective, which is yours, a little bit about my company, from some of something that people don't get to see as much, which is, you know, like back when I was trucking your dirt and, you know, would rock up and load your jobs or whatever back then. And then I can talk a little bit about yours, which is part of the growth, which is if you have people, I don't know what to do with my hands, but, you know, if you have people that support you, that's actually what it ends up being. You need a circle of people like you talk about, your architects and stuff like that, support you, bring you into the jobs and everything. Yep. I talk about customers like you throughout the years. And like I said at the beginning, we've trucked very little of your dirt in the recent year, two, three. You got brilliant service from the people you use, and we don't knock on your door too hard. We just let you know that we're there.
Yeah.
But, and it'll come back around, as it always does, because business is cycles. But it's interesting to grow with people throughout the time. Like, you were in a one ton and I was in a truck and dog and a five ton, I think, or an eight ton.
Well, correct. And I started, and you and I hit it off, and that's what I appreciate about and my biggest things in business are loyalty and respect. And there's so many people these days in business that forget about the basics, which are your loyalty and remembering who helped you get to where you got to go and whatever it is. But, you know, as you said, you and I don't do a hell of a lot of work together anymore. But if I rang you at 10 p.m. at night and said, Jim, I need something tomorrow.
I tried my hardest to do it. If you rang
me and said, ring you, I need to borrow
whatever
20 grand. Mm. I'll transfer you 20 grand on the spot.
That's because he's rich.
Not quite.
He lives down the 10.
This is just, and you know, and you and I both have people, and you're that for me, but we both have people where you know those people are always in your corner, no matter what's going on in your business or even your personal life. And that's what I enjoy about building relationships in, and going back to 2022, you talk about, you know, Kingston's my
Kingston's
plant, not trying to plug another plant.
Kingston is it, yeah, but they've done good by you,
and
we had a shocking year,
as you attest to in 2022, and I have no shame in saying I lost $500,000. I did $12 million of revenue, which is a fair whack for a little guy like me, and I think I had $12.48 million of costs that financial year. So
good business,
but personally, business. It was a pride. Business wise, it was a pride hit, and you know, they at that time they had great tips in the southeast. They were,
but you also talk about something more important, which is that they and like, I know you're not ashamed to say it either. They supported you through that time.
That's exactly
and
right.
And they held a lot of money for you.
Yeah,
and they supported you when you needed the support most. And what does that get them in the future? Loyalty over
correct.
A dollar,
and that's. And that's what I mean. When I realised, if I became, I guess, vulnerable is the word, and I said to them, this is the shit I'm going through. This is what I'm dealing with, whether it's the fact that there's no tips open for compactable material. We're going to all wear the tips, and instead of you getting a buyback, you're now paying a tip fee. But builders had a gun to my head with the fact going, well, my dirt in the ground hasn't changed, so get the fucking dirt off my job.
Which is probably not wrong.
It wasn't wrong, that'll lead on to something, how I got my contracts and that sorted out. But I sat there and went, well, I either fold and do not, if I decline all these jobs and go, what's the word? You know, renege on my contracts.
Mm.
This is going to ruin me forever.
Yeah.
Or I was lucky enough to have some money behind me, and I put it into the business and got through that period, and taught me a lot of. My accountant said, you know, you've had 11 good years in one shit year. But still had 12 good years. And those relationships, man, but when I realised that being vulnerable was the – when I say vulnerable, I'm not pouring my heart out, but I'm telling – people go to – us blokes have – Jim, how are you busy? Yeah, fucking flat out, mate. Fuck. Sometimes you're not busy. When I realised people, I would say to people
– Isn't that interesting now what you're saying about the flat out? Because I would say A decade, you ask people, jamming.
Can't keep up.
Can't find blokes. Can't, you know, if I had the blokes, I'd dig the holes. No problem.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think it's like?
Well, that changed my whole perspective that year, and personally and business-wise, because once I started telling people, oh, not going that well, you realise who's your friends, who's in your corner, your builders. You know, I started telling builders, mate, just to ring up, and the first thing you go, how's it going? Mate, not going that well. Man, a bloody shit time at the moment. X, Y, Z, rain, builders going broke because of COVID, and all of a sudden their material price has gone through the roof. They're paying builders openly telling me, hey, we have to pay our window 6 months in advance. We've used your earth moving claim, so can you wait 60 days? And I'm like, oh, it's banker ring now, is it? But is it?
So because I often refer to myself as banker Starbuck. I'm in short-term loans.
That's what it does feel like that sometimes. But then I also realised who's in your corner, because then all of a sudden those claims I sent in to builders were getting paid within 7 or 14 days instead of 30
some of
in
the
month.
Ones, yeah.
And it wasn't even – and that little gesture was enough to go, well, they actually care about me as a contractor and I'm not just another – because some of them would look at it and go, well, fuck, if I hold out long enough on this bloke, he might go under.
But there's a thing, and you know it and I know it, and we never mention names here because it's too small – however, you know and I know that there's people who have been sent broke in this state by builders not paying on purpose.
Especially if they've got a sniff that they might be going broke.
Yep.
Because if that builder owes someone $300,000 or $400,000 and goes, well, hang on, I might be the straw that breaks the camel's back if I hold out another 30, 60
days. Do you think it's that calculated, or do you just think about the fact, like, there's been some builders and some contractors over the time that they might not think that. However, they end up getting – the contractor gets so desperate for money that they start, like, acting out or doing stuff wrong. And I don't think at the start the builder thinks, I'll do it to break the camel's back, but maybe at the end they are.
I think each case is completely subjective. Like, it's some builders – and not even builders. That's not the right word, because it's that sort of stereotypes. Some human beings are wired that way to do anything to make a dollar. They'd rob their mum for $50, and if they see a way they can take a contractor for money, they will.
Yeah, I know people who rob their mum for $5, not $50.
But I think that I'm pretty good at, and you'd be similar, that I've got builders that, and not just builders, concreters, other
you've got clients.
Clients do it, that they'll ring me up and go, ring up, I know I owe you X amount. I need to the 14th of next month. This is why. And they're completely transparent. And you can tell in their voice on the phone. And you'll continue to work for them all day. But then you got the ones that end of month, they go quiet. And the 5th of the month, hey, your 5th of the month, usually that email goes out, hey, you missed your end of month payment. Can we expect it soon? Then nothing. Then the 10th comes around. Then the 14th to the 21st, you get the remittance. But then you get a call. Hey, fix that bill up. I need a machine tomorrow. It's like, right, did you fix the bill up because you need a machine?
Well, what about the guy who rings you up, tells you he can't pay the next month, that then when that time comes around, he rings you back up again, says he can't pay, and you've kept rocking and rolling. Yeah. And a couple of them.
It becomes a catch-22, because you and I have, you got a lot more than me, machinery debt, earth moot trucking debt. You've got an office we're sitting in, you've got factories, developments. I've got machinery debt, trucks, building a house, all the above.
Yeah.
So at what point do you go, well, I'm not working for anyone that doesn't pay on time? Because then all of a sudden it's you and me back in our truck on our own.
And how many – so if you say that – look, I was telling someone the other day, talking about a job. Me and him had a decent blue.
Yep.
And lawyers at 10 paces, you know, that's what it was. Right. You know, like you were back to back, start walking, see who shoots first.
Yeah.
And I rang him up and I said, you know, you got a job. If you're keen, water under the bridge.
Yep.
I'll take the job if you want. But at what point is it that, someone's done you wrong, and if you hold on to that, at what point does it change over from, okay, we're just having a bad experience and we have to move past it, to I'm never moving past it?
Yeah.
And then the next flip side of that is, Does a leopard ever change its spots? Now, that bloke there who I called up and want the job, it's about $500,000 job or something, is he going to do me again and I'm going to be the idiot who goes back to him again, water underneath the bridge, mate,
you know? That, yeah, well, you get to, And I've been probably stitched up enough times now to see it a mile away. Like, I've had well-known Melbourne builders that have built some of the biggest apartment buildings in and around the southeast that, you know, happen to have put things into my contract after I've signed contracts. I've had all types of things happen to me.
Yeah, but what's – are they the leopard? Because you do end up getting paid something.
History says they're the leopard.
Yeah.
And that's all that – most people – can put two and two to say that that's a...
Now, if you, for like, let's take my case, for example, because I know you're in a slightly different niche than what I've got. Yeah. If I didn't work, well, we're going to change felines here.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're going to change animals. Right. If I didn't work for sharks, I'm not working for anyone.
No.
We didn't get here by not being sharks.
That's correct.
So if I don't work for them, who the fuck am I working for?
Yeah.
Who's left?
It's a food chain thing. The thing is there's now, you know, you've got your shark and everything, but there's now 10 sharks at the top. And you've got the developer all the way down to us, down to out. So you've got the developer who's squeezing builders. Builders are squeezing contractors. You're squeezing your truck guys. You're squeezing your tips. Everyone's squeezing someone.
Yeah, so at some point someone's saying to... that Jimmy Starbuck, he's a shark.
At some point, you know? Someone thinks you're the big dog. But then at other points, you think, fuck, that guy's a big dog.
And so what do you do?
It's, you know, and this is where I go back. I stopped, when I say I stopped growing, after 2022, I put the foot on the brake a little bit and I went, let's just continue. I restructured my business. And as I said, those relationships that I learned out of 2022, I really then leveraged off the next few years to restructure my company. I had companies, you know, and that's why I'm loyal to companies. Like when I said loyal, but like Kingston held my debt some days for 60 or 90 days for me to get out of that trouble.
Isn't that important, eh? Like,
they could have squashed me.
100% they could have.
They could have sent me straight to the liquidator.
In all honesty, like we had a quick chat. Brief.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
Chat before I came in and I said, you know, like I could sit down and say, you know, don't talk about my competitor in there and how good they've been, you know, or don't say stuff like that on the podcast. That's not what this is about. You know, this isn't necessarily about what, you know, Starbuck plant hire is. This is about what Jimmy Starbuck is. This is about what the industry is. I see so many, I probably get... some weeks, 10 people reaching out to me saying, you know, Jimmy, I'm in deep shit. I talked to a bloke yesterday. He's like, Jimmy, how do you deal with these trucks, man? He's like, my trucks, he goes, they're killing me.
Yeah.
He goes, I've got, you know, $10,000 a month sitting in my yard. Both of them aren't working. He goes, and then when they do work, they break down. And then when they're not broken down and I have work for them, the driver doesn't fucking rock up. And I'm arguing with my wife and he goes, and what do I do?
Mm.
And maybe that's what this is about. Maybe who did you lean on apart from me and the people in our group? Who did you lean on when you were starting? There wasn't that many.
There was no one. And this is where this gets back to me now with the world's gone to a place where there's this massive sense of entitlement. And everyone thinks that, oh, well, I can drive a digger and I want $70 an hour, or I can do this or I can do that. And no one rolled out – and what shits me is no one rolled out the red carpet for you or I.
No.
Like, we put our balls on the line and borrowed money and started things. And then I had an operator who said to me, I need to take 3 weeks annual leave and I've got my own job, but the money's too good to pass up on it. I said, all right, well, you know, I'm happy to do the job with you. And you can take the profit share. It's your job, but I can carry the debt of any materials and things. No. Fair. I want to hire some machinery off you and take my annual leave and do the job. And I was like, look, that's a bit funny. I'd rather you go and sort of dry hire, like, you know, I need my gear, go and dry hire other machines and do it. He ended up coming back to me and saying, well, I'm going to just go and dry hire, I'm going to quit. I've bought my own machine, blah, blah, blah. And because we both, you've got full-time subcontractors that only contract to you, and I've got the same to me because they might be young guys, it's the big bad world, they go out on their own, realise that they can't carry debt for 60 days, they can't do X, Y, Z, they end up becoming,
Yeah, but no then they squeeze you on the way back in. Yeah, you know, like yeah, then they're ringing you up and saying, can I have an early payment, I need this, or I need more hours, and you go, well, you don't necessarily, it's because you might be taking on your own jobs or something like that as well.
Yeah, but this guy goes on to another, I don't know if it's a podcast or a chat or a Zoom meeting on Instagram, on a live chat or whatever it was, and says that I did wrong by him. Because I turned around to him, he goes, I've bought my own machine. What I'll do, like you do with the others, is I'll do this job, then I'll start chasing my own work, and the days I don't have my own work, I'll work for you.
Yeah, no, how about piss off?
And he stood in my office and the office girl was in the office and I said, on what planet do you think that's – I said that – I no one rolled a red carpet out for me like that. I had to go to work. I had to hustle. I had to do things every day. I rang all my mates. I rang everyone who needs machinery, blah, blah, blah. But within reason, I didn't step on any – I live in a small town. I didn't step on any locals' toes. I had to do it calculated. Mm. And this fellow thought, well – I'm just going to work the odd days and then you can use me on the other days because now I've got bills and machinery payments.
Well, it ends up being that they are entitled to – they don't think that they're entitled to you. They think you're entitled to Ring X and what Ring X gives other That's people. Right. And they forget that sometimes – I know that this for myself because it also hurts a bit, yeah?
Yeah.
It does. Like as a boss, we're not allowed to talk about how we feel about situations ever. And it actually comes across as real high level upper management. We're just expected to deal with this shit. And then when he comes to you and upsets you, you know, or it does, like let's say he does you wrong, you're expected to respond to him in the most professional way possible, non-emotional, you know, and you just need to be the quintessential businessman at all times. Yeah. When in actual fact, you're like, dude, like, I've helped you out. I've paid as good as I can. I've given you everything I could ever give you. You wanted a new car. I got you a new car. You know, you needed time off when I was desperate for you not to. I gave it to you. And now you come back to me and you want more?
Well, like, this was a bloke that when COVID hit was stressing out with kids in a house. And, you know, what's going to do? I said, no matter what, I'll pay you.
Yeah.
What, the government turned around and said, we're shutting down the whole industry.
No matter what, I'll pay you.
I said, no matter what. I've got the fucking text message. Mate, what are we going to do? I'm stressing out. I said, I'll pay you until I run out of money, you and all the boys and the girls. Mm. I said, that's the way I'll – if your girls are going down, I'm going down with you. That's how I roll. And I said, because we're not going to die. We'll come back from it, but at least I'll know that I've got all you guys in my corner when we come back. Anyway, the government turns around when they realise that wasn't going to work. Just put us into $1 trillion of debt instead to keep everyone.
That's a whole other. More likely,
but that was after. This was just after this 2022. I think it was around that sort of time. And I thought that was probably the day I went, fucking, everyone's walking all over me because I'm Mr. Nice Guy. Because I'm like, hey, yeah, you go buy your 5-tonner in your truck. The days you don't have work, I'll go to the point of inventing a job for you. Yeah. Maybe at even my cost. Because I'm bloody, that's the way I'm wired. And that's the sometimes even the loyalty side of things can come back and bite you on the ass. But I do think that trait and knowing remembering who helped you, having that loyalty side of things in the long run it might cost you money at times, but in the long run it'll be beneficial. It's more beneficial to because you and I have worked together since day one. You could have walked all over me. You did 3 or 4 month contracts for me.
Yeah.
I didn't even see the job. Never met the operator.
Yeah, I even booked them in for you and rang you up and told you
the whole thing. They would call you and go, then next thing you know, I'm getting bills for Starbucks. And the girl's going, why is Starbucks billing us for Eltham Primary School for 2 months of electrical excavation?
Yeah.
And I go, Jim, what's this bill? Oh, the electrical contractor called me.
Yeah.
I went and did the job. Here's the bill.
It was 1 month. Don't make me sound like I'm behind my bills.
Was it 1 month?
Yeah, it was 1 month, but we're already into the second month. I booked the job.
Yeah, yeah.
I gave you your margin. I gave you what you got. And then I think I tried to call you, but we both got busy.
Yeah. And I told you
what to charge him.
And you told me what you did to agree the rates. Mm. And I go, that's when you know, well, Jimmy could have just shafted me in an instant and wiped me.
Mm.
But long term, where does that gain you?
We're getting deep into it. However, yeah. I assume that this would probably happen, but I've built my company with supporting people exactly how you're talking about it.
Yep.
You know, not bending over backwards, but bending for them.
Yep.
You know, my own excavation jobs, suffering with no trucks to make sure that my customers who are getting my trucks have the best supply that they can.
Yep.
You know, running in the rain at bigger costs under my, you know, when we can, or yep, slamming the guys with 35 truck and trailers on a day, because I know on the next day we're only going to have five available because I'm going to have to put the 30 out to others. That's just what you talk. I think that that's good business. I think that
that's what I'm saying. Going back to, I think in the long run, that you build a reputation that people not like to respect that reputation. And that goes back to, you know, I first started, and there was builders that wrote letters of intent for me because the bank wanted. I wouldn't let my parents be company directors. I didn't want anyone involved. Yeah. So I thought if I go and going to take the world on. If I go down, I'm going down by myself. I'm not taking my parents, taking their house, taking anything off anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, I had to have letters of intent. There was multiple builders, a couple of mates that are concreters. They're all still going today.
Mm-hmm.
But one builder wrote me a letter of intent. I'm going to use Ringer three times a month for 3 days at X amount of dollars. Right.
Yep.
He doesn't win a job for 3 years. He was a big high-end builder. And then this was the time when times changed, where the younger builders started coming through, and they were deleting that $250,000 off the bottom line of these house builds because they were managing them rather than being a checkbook builder.
Yeah, hell yeah, right? Yep.
So all of a sudden he ended up in an industry going, shit, I've had it pretty good for a long time. Now I've got to be a bit more competitive. He wins a job. My contract was $75,000. I did the job, and I found a tip. I pulled the trees off. I couldn't really do much to save the trees. Like as in costs on the trees. I then moved 2,000 cubic dirt in about 3 days to the next street, to the guy that had an acre block that needed to fill a big hole out the back beach.
Yep.
I sent in a bill for 45 grand. I think it had cost me 25 grand for 4 days of work.
Yeah.
Sent in a bill for $45,000. And he goes, oh, you've done your thing. Just invoice me the whole lot.
Nah.
I said, you're not dumb. You're 70, 65 years of age and been in construction for a long time. You know what I've done, and I know what I've done, and I know that you wrote me a letter of intent. I can legally send you my claim for the whole amount, and I know you're going to pay it because you're a good bloke, and you know that I've had a win, but I also know that you have put your balls on the line to win this job because you're quite open about it, that you got screwed down to win the job. This is my way of paying you back.
Yeah, it
hasn't cost me money. Still made good money.
You know, a very powerful tool is to give a discount. A very powerful tool is to give a discount.
Yeah.
And I've used it a number of times. But if done in the right way, I can remember one job I was doing a childcare centre, and it's always a very similar thing around the dirt. You know, we were out in Donvale, had an infill around the corner, 2,000 cube. Oh, I think it was 1,000 cube.
Yeah.
Quoted the guy 50-something grand to dig it. I think it cost me like 20, 15.
Yeah.
I gave him, I offered him 15, and he said, you know, it's really hard in my company because we run 6 or 7 job sites to make all of the job sites. Just give me the discount of 10, and I'm like over the moon. Now, unfortunately, we only ended up winning one stream of that 7 of work because, obviously, that PM and whatever.
Yeah.
Would I do it again? 100% I would.
I think in the long run, that guy and I have had a great relationships, and I still to this day, he gives my name out, he passes my name to people. He's retired, this is 15 years ago, he's retired now, but
yep,
still to this day, he will pass my name, he'll give my name out. I won't mention names, but he's that will never be lost on him, and it's not lost on me what he did for me.
So your biggest supporters end up being some of your clients when you help them out, you know, and they hold the most weight. You know, I know that even in this social media shit that we do, you know, like they come to me and they say, oh, why don't we do client interviews, you know, or, you know, so that we can put them out. And I say, well, first off, if they're interviewing for me, most of the people think that it's bullshit regardless.
Correct.
You know, if I put my best builder there, they go, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons I'm doing this, you know, like how do you set yourself apart? You know, in an industry that is so set on price, because these contracts are hold you by the balls, right?
Yeah.
Your scope that you sign up for that is apples to apples, because they end up making it that way. Like, let's say me and you are competing, we both have to move the dirt.
Yep.
They don't give a fuck how much dirt there is to move. They say you have to get us down to this, tie us in. Your price is X, my price is Y. How do you make them see the value in ring X?
Without, if we're, you and I are pricing for a job for a builder that we've never worked before, my approach is that this is the price, and this is the price. This is what you're going to get for the price. This is my scope that I'm signed to. Mm-hmm. There's going to be nothing. There's not going to be anything that changes from that, and I'll deliver it on time. And to millimetre perfect.
And isn't that hard? Because at the end of the day, you've got three other earth movers, or now
all saying the same
10 thing. Other earth movers begging for the job and say, that was my price. Now my price is That's less right. because you've told me it was 100. You said, ooh, okay, 90.
Yeah. And but my experience tells me that I never get shitty when I lose a job either.
No.
Someone rings me up and goes, mate, Jimmy Starbucks beating you by 10 grand. I turn around and I see people go, What's Jimmy doing that I'm not doing? Blah, blah, blah. What's he, how's he cutting? He's undercut me. I go, no worries. Mate, I hope it all goes well. Jimmy's a great guy. Anything goes wrong, give me a call.
Yep. Right?
The amount of times that someone's desperately screwed themselves down because they need to keep their machines moving, they've stuffed the job up. They've left someone incompetent on the job. They haven't been able to move the dirt. They haven't been able to do something, and it's, ringer, we actually need you to finish this job. No worries. It's those little things can just they stay in people's mind. That,
oh, yeah.
Why didn't he get annoyed that I didn't give him the job? Or why didn't he get shitty about the fact that he might have been undercut by a competitor? And I think knowing your worth and going, well, you know, Jimmy and I are going to price this same job, as you said, for this new builder. This is my price. Ooh. I know what I'm going to deliver you. I'm confident in what I'm going to deliver you. I back myself in. If you don't like the price and you want to risk it with a cheaper price, go on.
Now, as we've risen up, you know, this is the next part of it all. As we've risen up, I'm sure if me and you made a list of who we compete against, it's the same 10, 15 people again and again. There's a job that's live right now that's up for grabs. You probably wouldn't do it for a certain, for different reasons. However, the guy literally rung me in.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. November is Men's Health Awareness Month, so Talkspace wants guys to know that being prepared for life's biggest challenges and opportunities means prioritizing mental health, too. Talkspace can help you go beyond fine-tuned workouts, supplements, and productivity hacks. Talkspace can help you fine-tune your inner life so you can succeed in being the best version of yourself in any situation. And with Talkspace, you can get therapy from anywhere and on your time. You can even text your therapist between sessions. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace takes most insurance, and most insured members have a $0 copay. Men's Health Awareness Month is the perfect time to reach out to Talkspace. Now, get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. That's Talkspace.com, promo code SPACE80.
He goes, Jimmy, you're one of the few people who can move this dirt. It starts in 2 weeks or a week now or something.
Yeah.
Starts in a week. I think it's 40,000 metres or something.
Mm-hmm.
How many people can you get to jump in, machines, boys, this, that, blah, 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 that can move 40,000 metres from in the city? Like
it's a small
city. Yeah, and there's just the same.
There'll be a lot more people that tell you they can. But how many can actually do
it? Yeah, throughout the rain and put their and sign on the dotted line. Yeah. So And then how do we go, like, and it's this ebbs and flows for who has work, for how it all is, and I hope that you get that on video. I just looked into the camera.
Yeah.
But, you know, the 4, 5, 7 people that we compete against all the time at different rates, at different times, for different risk components, are chasing the work. Does it all just come down to either price or relationship? Is that all it is?
For builders, it comes down to price in some jobs, because some of them will be so desperate to build some mega mansion in Toorak, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the Ring is at $250,000 and Jimmy's at $300,000, Jimmy's at $250,000. We've got to take Jimmy's price because it's $50,000. If we take $50,000 off 10 contractors, we'll make $500,000.
Yeah.
And I go, no worries. Because most builders I work for, actually 95% of the builders I work for and clients, they'll use another company every now and then. But what that does is I don't look at that as and get upset. I don't get it. That keeps me hungry because they're keeping me competitive, but they're holding me accountable. They keep me competitive and they're keeping me non-complacent. Because if they go, Ring, you can get every job, I get complacent. Oh, I should run 5 trucks tomorrow. I'll just run 3 because I'll keep that job ticking over. And, you know, rather than go, by them doing that, and I've always said to builders, they go, oh, Ring, I couldn't give you this job. Jimmy, it was $50,000 cheaper. I'm sorry, mate. And I go, mate, if I win 80% of your work or 50% of your work, that's 50% more than zero.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, you're cool with that. And I go, mate, will you tell me if you put a gun to my head and said, do you want 50% or do you want zero? What do you reckon I'm taking?
50. If they're a good builder.
If they're a good builder, you got to understand. And I'm in a funny niche because I do majority of my work's earthmoving.
Yeah.
So what do you reckon I get outdone by most of these high-end builders? The package guys. Right? Package. Because builders don't want to split up packages, which is cool. They want to minimise their staffing. They don't have a construction manager, project manager, CA, a site manager. They've got everything to manage a piling guy, earth, and all these sort of guys. So they'd rather spend the money and outsource the whole thing.
I have a different sort of issue with that because you're in earthworks in basements.
Yep.
I work for the piling guys. I work for the concreters. I work for the full retention package guys. Half of my cartage is around basements.
Yep.
Let's say. Including my own or whatever. If I was to go into the package, I'd probably lose half of my clients.
Correct.
Like if I said, Starbucks doing basements now, full retention packages, everyone would go, Jimmy, just cancel those 15 truck and trailers.
Competition.
Yeah, because I've become the competition. Everyone's okay with me digging the holes. Everyone's all right with that part.
Yep.
But, and so I constantly get this pull from builders saying, packages, Jimmy, just do the piling for us. Just, you know, who's the shotcreter that we should be using or whatever it is. Now, I have some recommendations for people. Do I take on the package? Never. Have I ever done a package? Not once, you know, because
it doesn't make sense though, because the earth moving is generally 15% of the package.
Yeah.
Why is the earth mover carrying the other 85% of the debt to win 15% of the job?
It doesn't make any sense. But that's where we've seen over the years a lot of people go not well.
Correct. And that's right. Well. And this is why, as I said, since I restructured in 2022, I've had all these opportunities. Mm. Do this, do that. And you know what? I respect my thing is let people do what they're good at. I'm not good at piling. I'm not good at CFA piling, right? I can dig. I can dig good.
I can give you the machine with the CFA rig, no problem, 120 an hour, 30 an hour.
Yeah. But when it comes to having a rig, all the stuff associated with it, the staffing, the engineering side of it, that's so far above what I'm capable of doing by myself.
But what about the piling contractors who then go into the earth moving?
To me, I understand.
Is that a more natural progression than
I think it is a natural progression. That's the only, to me, it's like people that go, oh, you pissed off that landscaper bought his own digger. I'd be like, what mad landscaper wouldn't have a little digger?
Yeah.
How many times they sit there shoveling barrows to 10 cubic scoria into a barrow all day and they could load those barrows in 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you have $40,000, why wouldn't you have a 1.7 tonner?
I think that's where all of the dealerships have really cracked it because it turns into why wouldn't you have a 1.7? Why wouldn't you have an 8 just to dig your own trenches?
That's right.
You know,
you may as well buy 13 to load your truck at the yard.
Yeah, correct. But when we started 15 years ago, not every concrete had a 5-ton.
No. It's completely changed.
It's completely totally changed now. Like,
but what it taught me was, and especially that yeah, I always go back to that year, but it taught me a lot of things. It taught me to only to worry about what I can control. And if I only worry about what I can control and I do that well, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
So when I'm given the opportunity to dig alongside a structure company and I dig a fucking good, do a good job, they generally go, well, fuck, is it worth us digging our next job? When he takes all the responsibility of the dirt and he moves the dirt in 5 days quicker than I can move the dirt, he details it within 15 millimetres, why do we want to dig?
Yeah, I actually get that. That's probably the main thing. So I go, well,
if I control what I can control and that's the jobs that I'm given, rather than fighting and arguing with builders, why are you giving it to a structure mob when you can split it up and save 10% on shotcrete, 10% on piling and 10% on XYZ?
If not more.
Yeah. And I look like a desperate. I look stupid. Instead of going, you know what, any opportunity that you do, and this, I've never chased a client in my life. Big builders down the peninsula and everything like that, especially where I grew up, and they're the biggest builders in that, and I know they use other guys, and I never rang them, never said, give me an opportunity. They see my trucks and diggers. I've got the most, in the southern part of the peninsula, I've got the most diggers by far.
Mm.
And everyone knows that.
Yep.
But there'll still be people that won't use me. But the day they need me, and the day they ring,
I got them.
Let's go like this. All right, what can I do? How can I show them that? And it's not anything against who they're using. They're probably good blokes. I get along with most people, but I want to do everyone's work on the peninsula because that's my. I live in Serena.
My thoughts around this is that I really, really struggle, and I go through this in my sales meetings on a Friday. We have them every week, as you know. I struggle with trying to convert clients who have an incredibly good relationship with their current plant hire.
Yep.
I really struggle because the bar is set so high and it, from the very beginning, from when the trucks roll up to the tip site that they have, the turnaround, the sign-off time, the invoicing process, that you name it, how hard I chase my bill. At one point, let's talk Kingston because they've been here. At one point they go, wow, Kingston does this a whole lot better than Starbucks.
Yep.
You know, and it doesn't even matter what it is because it's just that perspective. And I say to the sales team, I say, right, we got to fill a gap rather than trying to force open our own gap. Because if we force it open, then the barrier to do a good job is too high. It's impossible to reach because at best, they're just going to say, oh, I saved $5,000. At worst, they're going to go, this is why we had our guys and we don't use Starbucks. This is why we didn't use Starbucks because of all of this bullshit, you know, they came in cheaper or they had a closer tip or this happened, but something's fucked up, you know, even to the point of I've had an accounts girl ring up. So we send reminder letters come in and then, you know, we sent them an email and they, and then on the 10th, like you said, or 15th, you go, where's my money? And they go, Kingston doesn't do that. Or the other competitor doesn't do that because they just ring me.
Yeah.
And they don't have the accounts girls doing it, and I fucking hate emails.
Yeah.
And you go, so I did a good job, supplied the trucks that you needed, moved the dirt that you wanted, was cheaper, but now that I'm asking to get paid, it's a problem. And you're trying to lever open those relationships, sometimes it's not worth it. Better to sit there and wait for them to call you and say, hey.
And then when you get your shot.
And you know me well enough that
I'm just a tell me the truth guy. You know, like the excuses that you get for people being like, my boys are still, like, God, I love them, but some of them, I say, mate, your grandma's died 5 times this year. Like, your mum's fallen over 10 times. Like, what's going on? Your kids had been sick at daycare every second day this week. Like, just tell me what's actually going on. You're fighting with your missus, you're doing something. Like, tell me the truth.
That's where, like, I was talking about before, where, you know, like, everyone expects the boss or the high level manager to be the professional all the time. But at some point you have to sit down and you say, okay, even if your grandma has died, there's a position here. There is. And it's a hard thing to say. And like you say it in front of however many people, like we said that we had a clip, 250,000 people. At some point there is a business line in the sand that you have to say, I understand that your grandma passed away.
Yep.
And it's very sad. I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
But I need you at work and I need this seat filled. And then you're the biggest prick that God ever put breath into. They are going to tell everyone at the pub, at the footy on a, by the way, Ringer's president of the Sorrento Sharks. Hell yeah. Yeah. Buy the raffle tickets. Yes. Meat trays on Saturday.
We selling raffle tickets on a podcast? We can do that.
Yeah, we can put the clip down the bottom.
In a car.
But they're going down and they're saying, you'd never believe it. Work for Ringer for 5 years. Yep. Take a week and a half off because my grandma's died. And you know what he said? I need you back at work. And you go, I do need you back at work because you also took a three-week-long holiday to Bali last year. You don't have any time left. I've given you a week where I've paid it, even though you don't have the leave. There's guys screaming for you at work.
But that comes, again, that's subjective because there's some employees that if they that they you've known them for years and they go, Ring, I need a week off. I've got shit going on.
Yeah.
You go, take as long as you need.
Yeah, take a month off.
And there's people that go, oh, Ring, I need a week off. You wouldn't believe it. And I go, that's where you turn around and you go, you know what, I'm actually into my tether with this shit because you're taking me for a ride and you've used every excuse the government's now given you, and not to dismiss mental health, but that card gets played a lot. Every single card, you know, as you said, there's someone's taking a fall. There's always something different. And you like, and I say this to my brother Steve a lot. Shout out to Steve.
Well, I love Steve. He is the man.
Steve's the man, but he's very, very level-headed and very, very switched on. And there's people that's probably where the boy that cried wolf saying comes from. Because there's people that you go, well, when you're sick, I don't actually know if you're sick. Because it's always a Monday, it's always a Friday after a long weekend, or it's there's always a Tuesday, and or you've been down all day, and then you've got to go home at 12 o'clock.
I've spoken about it before. I had a guy who put in a year's worth of annual leave to, there was some stupid fuckhead TikTok that came out that said extend your long weekends, use only 8 annual leave days, and get 27 days off or something like that.
Like to get with Easter and all that sort of thing.
And so you can link up. Yep. Annual leave days to maximise the amount of days off.
To maximise holidays.
I get it. I get it. I understand. But, I grew up, if a builder needed me or if we did all of those level crossings, if you remember. Yep. I was on level crossings around Victoria nonstop. If they called, I answered and went to work, let alone planned to maximise everything. Now, maybe that's me as a business and maybe that's me as a – but then
comes,
I know I have
– back to the basic principles of everything we talk about. And I've got employees that I've had for 10 years that would be first to go over some employees that I've had for 2 years.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between a company employee and there's a difference between an employee. And that's the two different – and no matter where you are at in life, if you are respectful of the people that are putting you in positions, so for us, it's builders, concreters, island companies.
Well, if you have a thought about it, like the guy who put in a year's worth of annual leave, he could have said, Jimbo, is there any you prefer? And this is what I'd say to younger kids if they're watching this podcast. I'm getting a fair bit of traction with some of the new people incoming. Yep. There's no problem with putting in and maximising your annual leave. There's no problem with maximising the holidays.
You've got entitlements for a reason. That's what they call entitlements.
But if you came about it and if they came to us and said, or me, or I don't know if you're the same, but I'm pretty sure you are, which ones make more sense? And I'll take off those ones.
That's right. Weddings and things you can't control.
Yeah, but let's say Easter, you get the 10
That's
days
right.
off.
Yeah.
What about if I make that 12 days or 14 days around there, but then I don't do it on Anzac Day and Australia Day and whatever else? Because I'd sit down and I'd say, at the start of the year, as fuck, we're like bam, bam, bam with public holidays.
Correct.
At the end of the year, Melbourne Cup, take that time because,
That's the only public holiday between March and December.
Yeah.
Or April and December is
now there's King's birthday in June, I think.
Oh, that's
now.
About it, yeah.
Yeah,
but most from January to June.
Like you're just stacked. Getting hammered.
You get stacked, yeah.
And it feels like if it's not raining or you're not getting heated off, you're now having a public holiday and can't work.
But I feel like I've built with my – and boys and girls – so I've got 3 office girls, not as many as you, but they are all so good at going, talking to each other to not take leave at the same time. And I appreciate that because they'll go, oh, hang on, you're off those dates. I'll make sure you're back before I go. So
we actually had to implement something.
Well, that they're only, and respectfully, they're only a data entry girl or whatever they are.
Yeah, but
they still think.
Yeah.
So to me, I go, one, I go, well, she's going to make it in life because she's got made of the right stuff. But also that you're doing the right thing as a boss, in making them feel like that, hey, I work at a place where I don't want to fuck them over.
Yeah. Or that,
and most of my boys are the same too, just off on that. Most of the boys are pretty good at going, hey, Pete's off here. I don't want to take that time while he's off because that'll leave. I don't want to leave him without three operators at once. So they'll all work their holidays out. So in they are all good like that.
We but actually have some to implement something. We had to implement something here.
Yeah.
Because we didn't ever have anything, and this is where growing a company is so hard because, you know, there's not growing businesses for dummies where you open up to page 75.
No. We've both learned the hard way, the whole way through.
Annual leave in the office. There was one time I walked in the office, and so we got about 15 girls or something out there fucking mashing keyboards, girls and guys. And you come to work one Monday or Tuesday, and there's seven empty seats, and you go, well,
they're all
what
on annual leave.
Fuck is going on?
Yeah,
and they they booked in their annual leave, and I'm like, did no one look at this? No. Oh well, you know, staff booked in 6 months ago. Aurelia, you know, Kayla.
I used to be like, yeah, no, everyone had texted me. I need to go. Well, what's it now? August. I need September or October. I'm away. Yep, no worries. Yep. Yeah, next thing I get there and go. On a Sunday, I'd be like, hey, mate, yeah, this is what you're doing tomorrow. And I'm off. And then three blokes send back. No, remember, I booked it in.
Like, what the And then you're using a calendar.
Now I've got a calendar, would you believe?
So now we started with the calendar and then it turned to shit.
Yes.
Because obviously then your calendar is so full of people who, you know, all of the stuff, all of the shit that you have in there for your life and –
yeah,
you know, and then you have to remember your mum's birthday on top of that.
That's right.
But instead, you're looking at Dave's having, you know, annual leave, and you know, Scott's having a sick day, and underneath that, it's like mum's birthday. Don't forget because you forgot last year, you prick. Yeah. You know,
but that's what you say. Going back to being a boss, you're expected to remember and know every single thing. And the minute you stuff it up, you're the worst person in the world. And that's what separates people. Oh, mate, I've got some unbelievable operators and mates that are gun operators and gun concreters or gun whatever they are, but I know they can't run a company.
Interesting.
And it's not disrespectfully to them,
yeah.
But I just know, and they'll turn around to me and go, mate, I'd rather not, I don't want the stress of it.
So the pathway of running a company, I think, was removed a lot over the last sort of, I think it's coming back now, but 10 or 15 years, they just needed people to work. So a good operator, concreter, whatever, could work for, let's say, a volume builder, and the volume builder would say, right, this is your charge rate. You're getting X for this. You're getting X for this. For every meter of pipe you put in, it's this. For every joiner you do, it's this. Yeah. And it allowed these businesses to grow to a stage where they had pretty much five employees banging along pretty hard, right? But it didn't mean that they were good businessmen. You know, it meant that they were almost on wages. Like, think of the carpenters throwing up frames.
They were going, I've been allowed 5 days in this purchase order, I'll do it in three.
Yeah.
And I'll make an extra money.
Yeah, and I'll kill it.
Incentivize people to work harder.
Yeah.
But also incentivize people to cut corners.
Yeah, of course. But then
And then they think they were more than maybe what they were.
Well, I think that we're seeing a bit of that now. Like, a 3 or 4 years ago, if you wanted to start your own excavation company, go buy a machine.
Yeah.
The dealership will sign you up for finance and there's someone.
0%.
Not only that, get on the phone. Yeah. On the fifth phone call, someone will put you on hire.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who it is. You call up Starbucks office 3 years ago and you say, I've got a 20, and we'd say, yes.
You're in.
Yeah. Oh, there was a stage we were running 30, 40 subbies.
Yeah.
You know, like there wasn't anyone who'd ring. You know, sure, we'll comply it. We'll put the safety on it. We'll do the systems. We'll do everything and I'll just make my little bit.
Yeah.
Now it's a little bit different, eh? You know, it's quieter. Well,
I think the funny thing is the way the world's now, and with social media and all that, you've got business coaches that have never run a business before but telling you how to run a business, and they're making it such a big, bad, scary world to run a business with, you've got all these taxes, you've got payroll tax, you've got all this crap, blah, blah, blah. They stripped out the actual the basics of what running a business is.
Yeah.
And so many people, you'd get this a lot, the amount of people that say to me, like, how have you made it? How are you so successful? And they only see the outside of what you've done. Like, they don't see the years and years of hard work or like that. And that's not to blame them. They're not to know. You haven't told, you probably don't tell. The things that you and I show on Instagram, for every good thing we show, there's 10 shit things that have happened.
Yeah.
Like, but people now are so hell-bent on what they see, I can't run a business. This is, or if they do try and run a business, they they're so hell-bent on worrying about the pennies, and they forget about the pounds, and they forget about the basic things of mm-hmm. – and people will say to me, how'd you make it? What'd you do?
So if you had to give one piece of advice, one piece of advice of running a business, what would it be?
It'd be one certain thing. But my answer is the same to everybody, that there's no like textbook on how to do it.
No.
But if you promise someone something, do it. Mm-hmm. And control the thing. Going back to what I said, control the things you can control. What can you control if you go to work, Jimmy, on your 5-tonner tomorrow? What can you control? Yep. You can be on time.
Yeah.
Right? You can have the right attitude. You can rock up and get out and go, I'm Jimmy, what are we doing today? Blah, blah. You can control your effort and you can control your attitude. And that's it. People will forget that Jimmy Starbuck's not the greatest operator because he's starting out and he's only 3 years in and he might never have done a raft slab dig before. But if you rock up at 6:45, the machine's off, grease warmed up, you've introduced yourself to everyone, you've understood the job to the best of your ability, and you're getting out, you're shoveling, you're doing things like that, they'll go, fuck, I'd rather have Jim over John Doe that rocked up with his son, chew and chewy, miserable. She rocked up at 7:15, wanted to fuck off at 2:00, and doesn't give a shit because he's complacent.
Yeah.
And I've told everyone that all I did, that's all I did. I never said, I'd have some old wog in Rye call me up and go, Anthony, I need to move 5 buckets of mulch, right? I'd go, I'll come Thursday night, I'm finishing work at 4:30, I'll drive past and I'll move you 10 cubic metres of mulch. It takes me 15 minutes. Mm. Mate, give us $300 back then or whatever it was, right? I never said no.
Yeah.
5 years later, mate, I'm Johnny's son. You moved 10 metres of mulch from your right, buddy, said you're the best bike ever.
Yeah.
And we had a $300,000 contract.
Yeah. Now I need you to dig out my beach house down in Portsea.
And these basics are what I always, no matter what happens in my life, in business or anything, I return back to those basic things of what can I control.
Yeah.
And that is controlling the basics and doing the basics really well.
Mm-hmm.
And then people will forget about the other things that you might not be as refined at. I can tell you that my safety's good and everything like that, but my paperwork and my payment claims and all that may not probably be up to the way that some
you don't have a CA.
No, but they don't give a fuck how good your paperwork is if your work's unbelievable.
You know, I got a story about a guy who rocked up with the right attitude, but might not have been exactly right. I think I might have told you this before. So very early on, when I started giving out subby work, I got onto a bloke. I needed to dig some trenches with a bobcat with a backhoe attachment.
I remember this story. Yeah.
And he loaded it up onto the truck. He came there in the morning. It was a guy who didn't have very good English. And we were waiting with the builder in the morning. He rocks up. He jumps out and he says, I'll unload. So he pulls the ramps out from the back of the tipper, walks up, starts it and start driving forward. When he'd driven forward, actually what had happened was is the leg overnight of the backhoe attachment had dropped down a little bit.
Down or something, had it?
And so it pushed the ramp off in front of him and he kept driving because obviously he couldn't see it because he'd reversed it up onto it so he couldn't see. So he kept driving and he fell off and he rolled the fucking thing and it full twisted.
Yeah.
Went full back onto its wheels, hit that same leg and then it teetered like this. So this guy jumps out and he's got a bit of blood coming down his head.
He's banged his head.
Yeah, and he runs over and he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Anyway, where would you like me to start?
That's the other, yeah.
And you go, nowhere. I need you to sit down.
You've got to call an ambulance. But you remember that guy. And if he ever calls you for a job, you'll go.
That guy wants the work.
Where do you want to work?
You can start tomorrow.
And that goes back to probably one of the other thing is relationships, because I remember I'll never forget winning my first basement. You and I had been mates for a little while, and we built a freeway called Peninsula Link, which made the trip from Melbourne to Sorrento, where everyone holidays, from an hour and a half to an hour. So all of a sudden, everyone's builders are coming down and building imports in Sorrento. I build relationships, and they go, "Well, will you come to Toorak? Will you come to Hawthorn? Will you come to Brighton?" Absolutely, I'm ceilinged as to where I can grow my business where I live. I've got to start venturing into the big bad world. I go and win my first basement. I go to the job. I meet the builder. I'd done my takeoffs. I had no idea what I was doing. You've done basements before, haven't you? Made heaps. Reeled off of the most random addresses, hoping you would never go there. I remember getting in the car and my first call was Jimmy. Jim, mate, ringer, what's happening? I want a basement.
Yeah.
Oh, what do I do?
Where do
and,
I dig?
You know, you and I were competition. I was basically, you could have led me up the garden path. But I was becoming, in reality, competition.
But also there's plenty of work out there for all of us, and I think that that's where a different mentality is coming now.
That's right. You know,
there's plenty of work out. Yeah. Well, actually, there's not as much work out there at the minute. It's a little bit screwed at the moment. Yeah. However, it's coming back.
It'll all come back.
But there's plenty of work out there. We don't have to slice each other's throat. And the best thing I did was take your phone call and help you with a basement. Right. I think I even ended up sending a machine there.
Well, you probably dug it for me, to be honest.
But it's just looking back. You know, it comes down to, again and again, the people you're with, the people that that's work right. for you, yeah. and the relationships that you build. The machines, you can buy 100 of them.
But
you know?
But that's the thing is, I love passing on my knowledge that I know things now, because I love people that want to learn.
Mm.
And I enjoy teaching people. Some people look at it as a threat, like, well, why would I want to teach you when you can become my competition? But you teach me how to dig your basement, how to run trucks, and how to back a truck and trailer.
Yeah,
but you know I'm never going to go and stand on your feet.
Yeah, no. But it's important to actually know that, because now these days it's not quite the same. Now you're teaching them to back a truck and trailer, and then next week they're stealing your truck and trailer
that's
work.
Right. Yeah, that's where Instagram has become. It's such a great tool, but that tool is people trawling Instagram and go, well, who's that guy working for and how do I get that builder?
Yeah,
I used to get people, and you'd know these people. I'm not sure if they're in business anymore. They'd text and go, mate, who's the architect on that job? What the fuck do you want to know the architect? I haven't even tagged the builder, but you want to know the architect.
I had someone just the other day ring me up and say, Jimmy, where's your tip side for this? And I told him.
Yeah.
And if he wants to steal it, that's off. Go your hardest.
That's on you, not me.
Right? That's on you, not me. He then said, do you have a contact there? I said, absolutely, I do. Here you go.
You're talking to him.
Take it. Talking to him. That's me. Yeah. But go your hardest, because you know what? I'm a firm believer, you know, we can all do it together. Mm-hmm. And if he steals that, well, then in actual fact, what's going to happen is he's going to make his own bed. He's going to lie in it. And that's right. At the end of the day, he's not going to be able to do what's needed to be done, because I'm pretty good at trucking.
Yep.
Right? I do my thing. Yep. We got hunters out there finding new tip sites. And when that guy falls over, you're going to still run to him or whatever. And we're going to have the next one.
100%. And that's where, you know, that sort of stuff I actually – you know it exists and there's no point. You can't control it. So you can't.
Yeah, but it's like the electrician calling us up. It was actually Latrobe. Yeah,
but what you can control your loyalty, your relationships, and you know when you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
If I'm doing something wrong,
100%.
I know I'm doing something wrong. And I think this could fight me in the ass, but I'm going to do it. There's people that go, well, I'm going to do it anyway. And there's people like you and I that go, well, I could fuck Jimmy over here. I could do this one. But if I make 10 grand now, that could stop me from making $1 million over the next 10 years.
Yeah, or that electrician. I do all of the work and then I send you an invoice, dropping 10 bucks off of it. I think that's about it for today, isn't it, Louis? Well done, perfect. There anything you'd like to say at the end?
No. I appreciate you having me on, Jim. Loved that. You and I have bloody been best mates since we started digging together. I appreciate I think it's bigger you. I can come on here and talk about competitors of yours, and that says a lot about you than –
yeah,
then a lot of other people wouldn't do that. They'd be, don't fucking speak about any of my competitors on my podcast.
No, I think
I think your art's in the right place doing what's right for the industry rather than what's good for you. Because at the end of the day, that'll come around in your favor.
I actually, your rep is one of the few people in the industry I think over the time has done such a brilliant job for his customers. You know, I don't go chase his work. I do chase other people.
But you and I and Wells, you could go out and have a beer tomorrow. 100%. And that's what I enjoy about our relationships. Yeah. And he's not trying to cut your grass.
No, he never does. I appreciate it a lot. Thanks very much. And I'll end today. As always, if anyone would like to come on this, please hit me up, send me a DM. We'll talk about it. And thank you very much, Ringo. We do an awkward handshake at the end. Do. You know, like
not the Russell Coit.
But Anthony Ring from Ring Excavation from down on the peninsula.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.